Well, I'd appreciate your prayers this morning. I feel like the Lord's giving me a little thought of encouragement for today. Our nation has been sowing the wind, especially for the last few decades. We have made a sharp decline away from spirituality, if you would. We're becoming a more and more secular society with the elimination of God out of life. That's always going to have an effect on a society. And the fact that our nation, not only the nation, the world, but our nation particularly, has went away from some sound principles of God in lifestyles and behaviors, morality, doing away with the concepts of God. We can't help but to reap the harvest of that. And now as you're looking on, if you pay attention to any in the news, more and more on, recently it's been almost daily, but at least weekly, you're hearing of these shootings, you're hearing of these tragic things more and more in our land. That's part of the reaping of the sowing that's been going on with the decrease of the value of human life. God put a lot of value on human life. And to go away from God is to go away from those values. And we're seeing the results of that in our life. And so we're going to have to deal with that. But more and more, I am convinced of something. I'm convinced that God has the answer to every situation, or I should say, God is the answer to every situation that we have in life. And I'm listening to politicians and to leaders and those trying to come up with answers to the problems that we have. Well, if they don't put God into the answer, they don't have the answer. You can put band-aids on things, but that's not the problem. The problem that we're facing now is that we've so desensitized people to spiritual things, to morality. We've so desensitized them to any life beyond this one or any account that we're going to have to give to a life that we live, that they can do anything in this life without regret or without regard. So these things are coming on our world. This is prophesied by the Scriptures. We are a part of the only religion the earth has ever seen that was built on prophecy. God built a whole generations of time prophesying of the time that Christ would come. It's based on prophecy. It's an amazing thing to me, the accuracy when you understand the Scriptures, the accuracy of what the Lord did with prophecy. And He prophesied all the way down. And He prophesied something else. 2 Timothy 3:1 says, in the last days, perilous times should come. Well, you may say, well, what is the last days and when did that start? But you'll have to at least admit this. We're more in the last days than what we were. We're in the last of those last days. He says, this know also that in the last days perilous times shall come. Why? What's going to be perilous and what's going to cause it? It says, for men shall be lovers of their own selves. You know that's a perilous time when men become lovers of their own selves. And we live in a society that teaches the fulfillment of the flesh. The Scripture says if we sow to the flesh, we'll of the flesh reap corruption. That's what's going to happen. Men are lovers of themselves more than lovers of God, said Thessalonians. But for men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affections, truth breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those of good, tradey, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures, more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. In the last days, though, there's going to be people that's going to be fierce. It says, fierce. This is the continuation, I believe, of what we can expect in our society. I said this was an encouraging message, so I want to get to the encouraging part. The encouraging part of this message is that God is the answer to all of our problems. God has the grace, the power, the strength, the desire, the want to get you and I safely through this life. With peace, with joy, with blessings. I want to look at a scripture in Luke 21. Oh, maybe I'll read back a little bit. 20th verse. Then when you shall see Jerusalem compassed with armies, then know that the desolation thereof is nigh. Then let them which are in Judea flee into the mountains, and let them which are in the midst of it depart out, and let not them that are in the countries enter therein too. For these be the days of vengeance, that all things which are written may be fulfilled. But woe unto them that are with child, and to them that give suck in those days, for there shall be great distress in the land, and wrath upon its people. And they shall fall by the edge of the sword, and they shall be led away captive unto all nations. And Jerusalem shall be trodden down of the Gentiles until the times of the Gentiles be fulfilled. And there shall be signs in the sun, and in the moon, and in the stars, and upon the earth, distress of nations with perplexity, the sea and the waves roaring, men's hearts failing them for fear, for looking after those things which are coming on the earth, for the powers of heaven shall be shaken. And then shall they see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. And when these things begin to come to pass, then look up and lift up your heads, for your redemption draweth nigh. Now, there was a couple questions asked to Jesus about this. And whether or not this scripture, almost definitely this scripture refers to the destruction of Jerusalem that happened in 70 AD, which was predicted of the Lord down to its very finest detail, that the historian Josephus, who was a Jewish historian, who was there at the time, who wasn't writing it from a Christian perspective, wrote the account almost exactly the way the Lord described it was going to be when he prophesied about it. So it almost definitely has a reference to that time. And it almost definitely has a parallel reference to the end of time. There's no doubt about that in my mind, that it has also a reference to that. But I want us to consider something else, that this is absolutely applicable to our lives as we live life. As things come into our lives, this was God's answer. When you see these things coming, when things are too big, when your heart would fail because of the things that be, when you get the report that your family member has cancer and they have a few days to live, or when you've been diagnosed with something and you don't have long to live, or when tragedy seems to be falling you, this is all applicable to the same idea here, that when you see these things coming and men's hearts will fail them because of the things that's coming on, and you don't know how to deal with it, and no doubt most everybody here I know pretty well, and I know you've been in times in your life that you've thrown up your hands and said, what do I do here at this time? I don't know what to do. Well, the Lord has the answer for this particular time. And what He said is to lift up your eyes. Lift up your eyes. Listen, there's no defeat in the Christian realm. There's no defeat in God. Lift up your faith. Let your faith take hold of something. We're on a journey here. Whatever happens here will be for a moment. Our whole hope is over there with the Lord. Our hope isn't in a tangible world here. It's in a world over there that's everlasting with the Lord. He said, lift up your eye, your whole purpose of living life. Your whole purpose has been to go to heaven, to be faithful to God. I'm bringing that to pass with this whole world. You're going through a trial and through a time. And yeah, I prophesied it's going to get worse and worse. And men are going to be lovers of themselves and they're going to be proud. And you're going to have to deal with all of this. And you may look at it and say, what's happening to our country? Alternative lifestyles and all this stuff that's so foreign to the nature of God and what He done. We look at that and our hearts might fail. But the Lord got a solution. You know what He says? Look up. You know, this is the idea. I'll give you an illustration. This is the idea. Defeatist. Oh, what's going to happen to us? We're not going to be able to make it. And He's saying to that, don't be a defeatist. Get your head up. Lift up your heads. Look up. And why? Your redemption. Your redemption draweth nigh. That's why I look up. Don't look at the situations around. You know what? If we're not very careful, we'll be guilty. Though we're believers. And I from an intellectual point, I'm always a believer. But we got to be a heart believers all the time. From an intellectual point, if you come to talk to me anytime and say, hey, I'd like to talk to you about what you believe and how you live, I sit down and talk with you. And I can say how great and mighty and faithful God is. But that don't mean that's the way I'm living. Understand what I'm saying? That's intellectually where I've arrived and what I want to believe. But if I'm not careful, I'll let the situations of life happen and all this coming on and I'll get to looking at it. I'll get to looking at it and how powerful it is and how much movement it has and how strong it is and what it's doing to people, and I'll get to looking at that, and all of a sudden I'll be gauging life by that right there. And what the Lord wants us to do is to look up. Get your head up. Look up, because we're not looking at that stuff. That stuff can't harm us, folks. It can only benefit us. If we allow it. So He says, and when these things come to pass, then look up. Now, I don't know, I wouldn't even start to proclaim when the Lord's going to come back. But I know this, just in my life, I went through a lot of things. I've had to face a lot of things. And this is a solution to a lot of those things. Is to look up. Your redemption is drawing nigh. God is only taking you. He's ripening you. He's only taking you through these things, these challenges of life, allowing to happen. Do you believe in the providence of God today? Do you believe in the absolute providence of God? Now, listen. I'm fully convinced in the Scriptures that God has a part in this. And we have a part because He created us that way. And we can't do His and He won't do ours. So we have a part. But what I want us to understand is, in the providence of God, that it's more than some great deal that happens. The providence of God is individual into our lives. Okay? Nebuchadnezzar was a great Babylonian king. He could have made all kind of human claims of how he got to be king, couldn't he have? He conquered. He had to be smarter than somebody, stronger than somebody. He had to do that. Well, then, couldn't he also have said, I was smart enough to get the right kind of architects, right? I employed the right people that had the right plans. I done all of this, and if you know the history of it, you ever read about the what they called the eighth wonder of the world, the Hanging Gardens of Babylon? He had a wife. Nebuchadnezzar had a wife from a foreign land, and she longed to go back, was the story in history. And he didn't want her to do that, but so he brought her land, the land to her, and he made a great garden of the plants and all, and it had these aqueducts, and he fed it, and it was beautiful. There's no remaining history other than the writings. There's not no signs of it anywhere, but it was supposed to have been, and that was one of his great. And he could have, and surely he could have made a boast that I had something to do with that. I got the right people to do it. It was in my mind to do it. I brought it all to pass, and I got it done. And then he steps out there, and he throws his chest back and says, "Look how great I am. Look what a great thing I've done." And it displeased God. You did what? What did you do? You don't even breathe unless I let you breathe. You don't think unless I let you think. You might say I've achieved a great thing because I studied hard. God gave you the mind to study hard. He put you in the position that you was able to. Hey, guess what? If you was born over in the Middle East right now, you'd probably be Muslim. You are put in the place where you're at because God has placed you in those kind of places. Who can claim I'm as tall as I am because I willed to be this tall? Or I think the way I do because of that? Or what this? I didn't call myself to preach, but you didn't call yourself to be a truck driver or electrician or anything else. God gave you the mind and the place to do it. You use it for the glory of God. I'm only saying that is because providence is real in our lives. So when God allows things to come in our lives, and these things are coming forth, you could have been, God could have allowed you to be born in the 1700s. You're not in the 1700s. It's 2019, and here you are. Right here. A choice of God. So I have the great challenge of God's choice for me to be a faithful servant of God in 2019. And all this stuff coming on the world, maybe it wasn't coming on 2000 or in the 1700s, but it's coming on now. And now I've got to look at these things and say, Lord, this is my opportunity and my place right here in this. What do you want me to do right here in the middle of that? Your redemption draweth nigh. There's nothing can change that. You know, no matter what happens to this world, it won't rock God's eternity at all. It's forever settled. Do you know this plan is already wound out in God's heart and mind? God already knows where this thing's going. And He's already prophesied of it. So when these things happen, like I said, I think it had an application to Jerusalem, because if you read the account of that the Christians that was in Jerusalem, when Titus went to besiege it, they heeded the words of the Lord, and they escaped out of there before it was encircled. There wasn't one Christian that died within the city walls because of the Lord's prophecy. They heeded that prophecy and was able to get out of there. He said that there wouldn't be one stone left on the other in that temple. They literally plowed it. Then they said that the temple, Jesus said that the temple would be destroyed. And the account from Josephus is that the men was told by Titus not to destroy the temple. And in their haste and in their lust, they destroyed the temple just the way Jesus outdid Titus the general. Jesus said it happened, and it's going to happen. So we live in a world with things happening. We pray that the Lord would unleash a revival on this land. We want people to be saved. We want people to be spiritual. We want it to turn back to the Lord. We pray for those that are out there. It's our place and duty to pray for the souls of people and be there to stand in there for them. But the world's getting worse. It's getting worse and worse. And there's going to be more shootings and more shootings. And listen, gun control ain't the answer to a bad heart. It's not the answer. And again, I'll just say it rightfully. I'd rather face somebody in the Walmart that had a single shot 22 than an automatic rifle. But that would be sensical if you had to do. But you can't change people's hearts. They can throw a bomb in there. They can knife. They can do anything. We're dealing with a hard issue, and I want to tell you what the answer is. God. God is our answer, always our answer. He'll be your answer. So in the difficult times that come, He has a good solution. When you see these things come to pass, look up and lift up your head and square your shoulders back, if I may say, and get some life in your steps. Your redemption draweth nigh. You're getting closer to the reward that you're living for. You're getting closer to the time that the Lord says, you're done. Your labor here on earth is done. Come on, thou good and faithful servant. That's what we're looking for. Not a defeatist attitude. There's a scripture. I'm just going to tell the story of it. The children of Israel came up to a time that they was going to go into the Canaan land. God had prepared this for these people and prepared their hearts. God prepared them. God delivered them out of Egypt with a mighty hand. And if you look at the real meanings of some of that God did, in the 10 plagues that fell upon Egypt, in those 10 plagues, God defied every god the Egyptians had. In them plagues, he proved to the Israelites that those gods, they had been there 400 years. He proved to them that the God of the Nile couldn't protect the Nile. The God that had control of the insects couldn't do it. The weather couldn't do it. Life and death couldn't do it. God only had control. He confounded all of their gods. And He didn't bring them out until He done His work. To show them there is no other God. He confounded them all. And then He brought them out and brought them in and confounded the Egyptians. That was depending on their gods to help them. And you know about the drowning in the Red Sea. Split the Red Sea. They go across. They're going to a land that was promised to them. And God promised to them, I'm God, He wanted to tell them. I'm God. Folks, let's get the lesson. He's still God. He's still the same God. Nothing else is going to satisfy your soul. None of the world's gods are going to do it. They'll let you down. The gods of this world will let you down. He's the only one. He brought them out, brought them up, if you remember the story, and now they're going. Get this. In the God that showed Himself able, promised them, I'm going to give you a land of the I'm going to give you vineyards that you didn't plant. I'm going to give you cities that you didn't build. I'll give you houses that you didn't build. I'm going to give you a land. Go get it. This is His promise. A land that flows with milk and honey and grapes on staves and pomegranates and figs. And I'm going to give you a land. And they come up. Remember, sent the spies over. Go spy this out. And they go over into the land. And they look at this, and God promised, and it is, they come back and said, it is a wonderful land. It flows with milk and honey. It's a wonderful land. But there's giants in that land. There's always giants in the land. The fact of it is that I know that a lot of things are bigger than I am. I run into a lot of things that's bigger than me that I can't do by myself. I'm going to need the Lord to help me to do it. So 12 spies go over. You know the story. 12 spies go over and spy the land out, and they come back, and 10 of them say, it's a wonderful land. But these giants over there, and we're like grasshoppers in their sight. And we are not able to go over and get it. We're not able to do it. Defeatists got their head down. Do you remember the story? What happened to the children of Israel that night? It said, with the great hopes that the people must have had of coming out of bondage and going and actually owning and possessing something and having homes and places to raise your family and all these things that was promised to them. And the great letdown they had in their minds that it must be, God must have cleared it of all obstructions. God didn't clear it of all obstructions. God was going to work with them to overcome the obstructions. And they went and looked and they were so disheartened, and it said that the people wept all night. They cried and wept because their hope deferred maketh the heart sick. It was such a letdown to them. But two men had their eyes up. They weren't looking at the giants over there. They weren't looking at the diseases. They weren't looking at the failures. They weren't looking at the nation. They weren't looking at the hope they had in government or whatever. They weren't looking at all those things. They was looking at God. They said of a truth, they are giants over there. And it is true. They look at us like we're grasshoppers. That's all true. But we are well able. Yes, Lord. We're well able to get this thing and conquer it in your name. You can overcome the bitternesses of life. Yes, you can. No, it's a giant, folks. But God's bigger. The habits that we have in life and the shortcomings that we have in life that we say, I've never been able to overcome it. That's looking at the problem. The Lord said, lift up your eyes and lift up your head. Look up and say, I'm looking at Him, the conqueror of it all. He conquered it all. And when we look and say, that's scary, it's fearful, I don't want to go through, I can't go through it, I struggle with that. We look at the one that conquered death. He conquered it. And you know what He claims? By His own power, He rose from the grave. And by that power, we rise too. That's what our hope is in. Our hope is in the one that rose from the dead. Two of them said, we're well able. There's giants. They're looking at us small. But we're well able by the power of God. Let us go over post haste. Let us go over immediately and take the promise by the horns. Let's get a hold of it. And they said, no, we can't do it. Over familiar scripture. Over in Matthew, the 14th chapter. And straightway Jesus constrained His disciples to get into a ship and to go before Him unto the other side, while He sent the multitudes away. And when He had sent the multitudes away, He went up into a mountain apart to pray. And when the evening was come, He was there alone. But the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with waves, for the wind was contrary. And in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw Him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, it is a spirit. And they cried out for fear. But straightway Jesus spake unto them, saying, be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid. And Peter answered Him and said, Lord, if it be Thou, bid me come unto Thee on the water. And Jesus said, come. Now listen, there's such a visual here with this. Here's a situation that they're facing in life. Jesus overcome it all. He stands on top of all the troubles of life. He was victorious and He still stands there. And Peter says, Lord, if it be You, bid me to come. And Jesus says, the victory that I have, come share, Peter. Come and do the impossible. Men can't walk on water. Can you? He did. Bid me come if it's You. And I can do the impossible too. Do you know in the Lord we can do the impossible? We can overcome our problems, our difficulties. We can have love when we're hated and peace when it's war. Sure we can. Because there's a Savior, we can. And he said, come, Peter, come. I want it for you. I've got it in control. This is my sea. These are my waves. This is my wind. The one that starts it can stop it. You remember the other one where Jesus said, peace be still? Why could he stop it? Because he owns it. He started it. He made it. He created it. I guess he can tell it to stop. You know this cat, this Dorian or whatever, this hurricane? That's God's little finger that stirred. I guess he could change the course of that if he mindful of it. I remember hearing a story out in the Midwest of an old saint out there. Y'all probably heard the story too. Probably Mother Mansell heard it too. Old saint out there and a tornado coming their way. He had a big fields of corn out there and his crop was all and he was there in his house and all. And the saint began to pray to the Lord, Lord have mercy and spare. And the tornado comes ripping down through there and lifts up in his fence off the ground, goes across his house and down and sets down on the other side of the fence and went right on destroying everything in its path. But right there was one old saint standing in the middle of it and his corn didn't even get blew down. I guess God can lift his tornado up if he's mindful of it. We just got to ask him sometimes to be mindful or show or give us what's best for us in life. Come, come, he says to Peter, come on. You out here? And Peter did. And when Peter was come down off of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw the wind, boisterous, he was afraid. And beginning to sink, he cried, saying, Lord, save me. Well, we've used that many times. We've probably all thought about that. Come, Peter. Oh, I can do it. The Lord's doing it. I can do it. And walk right out there. But for a moment, he lost his focus. He lost his focus. He became just the mortal man that he was. He fell to the pressures. He fell to the storm. He fell to the wind because he gave it credit. He gave the wind credit to stop him. He gave the sea credit to stop him. He understood his own weakness. What could he have done? No. I'm going to tell you where he failed. Get your focus on Jesus. That's going to be the... And he cried, Lord, save me. Well, I'm glad this is in there. It's what the Lord did. But when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid and began to sink. He cried, saying, Lord, save me. And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him and said unto him, O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt? Why did you doubt? There's no reason for us, God's people, to doubt in this pressure moment of our time, 2019 and beyond. I say we're going to see, if the Lord tarries and we get to live life, we're going to see a lot more. Do you realize how far we've went since I was a boy? Well, I was born in 62, so I'm talking about up through towards 80 and so. But you know how much our societal walls have crumbled that used to protect people's life? I mean, they're crumbling. They don't protect anymore. I remember when you used to have to, there was a theater that showed bad stuff and you had to make a great effort to go do that. You don't have to make no great efforts for nothing now. Fingertip stuff. Everything's around. I'm going to tell you, we need the Lord to do what we can't do for ourselves or old devil's going to make hay in our lives. Oh, why did you doubt? Let's not doubt the Lord. I want this to be an encouraging. When things come, when all the stress and all that things come, look up. Get a good vision of Jesus. You remember when Stephen was being stoned to death? He's being stoned to death. That's a hard thing, but he looked up, didn't he? What did he see? He saw Jesus. I like the visual. Jesus wasn't sitting where he makes intercession now. He's standing. That means he's alert. He's watching. He's watching over the situation. Saw Jesus standing on the right hand of God. There he is. Don't matter now. My redemption! Listen, Stephen is saying, you guys better be careful how hard you throw those stones. You're only hurt for a moment, and then you're going to send me forever to paradise. You can't hurt me. You want to harm me, you better not do that. That's the worst thing you can do to a Christian, is do that to him, because you set him free for eternity. Thank the Lord. You pray for me. I want to be faithful.